It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Good morning. Sorry about that.
Totally fine. No problem.
All on my end. How are you today?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Forgive me if you hear airport notices in the background.
Oh, no worries. So I just want to get started today. So Andrew Little announced a few days ago that voting rights would be returned to prisoners who have been sentenced to less than 3 years, which is a return to obviously the pre-2010 law that was changed international. Obviously a huge step in the right direction. But, you know, it's sort of in the Bill of Rights that all citizens over 18 have the right to vote. And the Waitangi Tribunal also, when ruling on that, shared a similar opinion. So I just want to ask, you know, would you ever consider extending the voting rights for prisoners beyond just the three-year term?
Yeah. And look, and good question. This is actually something that has bounced around for a very long time. In fact, before the National Party had a members bill that ended up repealing voting rights in 2010, as you point out. So there was a big piece of work that was done that essentially landed on the idea that 3 years was an appropriate kind of way, a sentence of 3 years or less was an appropriate way to draw a line in the sand, because anyone then who's voting at that time is likely to be released and living under the government that they did or didn't vote for, you know, and so they saw that as an appropriate place to draw a line, I guess. And so we've really returned to that, because after this thing kicked around for so many years, we felt like, given all that work being done on it, that seemed like an appropriate place to go back to. Look, there will be those who hold a view that it should be everyone, and there'll be those who hold a view that it should be no one. And so this, I think, at least gives those who will be living back in society the chance to engage in the democracy that they live within.
Yeah, definitely. I totally get that sort of perspective on placing the term limit. I guess it's just interesting for me because I feel like, you know, it obviously is they will be voting on the government that is in power when they're released, but it's also not like prisoners aren't affected by the policies of the government that are in power when they're in prison, you know? So it's almost like... And it's also like what I think as well is that policy doesn't just last 3 years. You know, when you do a policy, you're hoping that it's going to be somewhat relevant or in place for a number of years beyond that. So I guess there sort of is an argument that could say, well, you know, yeah, it's great that they get to vote on the government that'll be there when they get released. But what about the people, you know, who are still being affected by crime and corrections policy changes when they're in prison, you know?
Yeah, and look, that's a totally legitimate argument to make. Mm. Others will, you know, could argue that you know, ultimately there is no question prison does deprive people of many liberties. It does. You know, it is, you know, having visited plenty of them, I do think we need to do a bit of job of acknowledging the rehabilitation side of the role that they're meant to be playing, but it does remove some of the privileges that others in society have. And so, you know, the question is voting part of that or not? And so, you know, this has been a really topical debate, as I say, for a long time. And I think what we've tried to do is find a way through that acknowledges that actually, you know, there is people should be able to have a say for, as I say, for those who are going to be coming out in that period. And we've placed an additional focus here. One of the things we've been concerned about is that on release, we should be making sure people are enrolled. It should be part of reintegration. And so placing greater emphasis for corrections on needing to do that job once people leave prison, because keeping in mind, not everyone when they go in will even be enrolled or voting. And so I do think that there's a job to be done there.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you think of Bridges' comments that this move is, quote, soft on crime, and sort of him saying that if National gets in next year that they'll reverse it?
I think that's wrong. Obviously, I disagree. Look, you know, this. I would have hoped as well that we would be able to get past this rhetoric of soft on crime and tough on crime. No one wants crime. You know, that actually it's this isn't. This isn't an issue of one party favours crime and another doesn't. No one wants people to be victimised. No one wants harm to be done through criminal activity. No one wants that. What I hope we're able to do as a country is start having a conversation around, well, what does evidence tell us is the best way to stop people ever being victimised or entering into lives of crime or being imprisoned. Those are the debates the country needs us to be having, not who's tougher than the other person.
Yeah, for sure. And also, speaking of Bridges and, I guess, National, he's made sort of gangs an issue again, and it was included yesterday in that, in that Law and Order document that National have decided they'd use an Australian-style police unit to crack down on gangs, you know, as well as doing other things like revoking parole and creating new sentences for, quote, violent gang crime. What's sort of your position on this? Because as I understand, you guys are sort of developing your own policies to tackle organised crime as well. So where are you seeing some differences and some opposing views on this?
I think one of the frustrations here is this idea that somehow, that the police somehow have no focus on gang crime and that they're not interested in organised crime. And obviously that is completely wrong. We have had, some increasing issues. Jared Gilbert focuses back on a number of years ago, particularly when we saw an increase in some gang members being deported back to New Zealand from Australia. So that has caused issues. What we've wanted to do is just make sure that the police have the resources that they need. That was one of the reasons we said we wanted to train more frontline policing, because we want them to have the ability to focus on preventative policing and on organised crime, and that's what they're doing. So, it's just this silly notion that somehow gangs isn't something we're focused on. I'd say successive governments have been, but it's been an issue for some time.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just going to move on now. So last thing I want to touch on this morning, just before we let you go, is I just happened to see the story on News Hub, I think, a few days ago. So a woman, owes the government now almost $200,000 for lying a number of years ago about having a partner to not get her benefit taken away.
Yeah.
It seems, I think when I think about this relationship clauses in our benefit policies, it seems quite punitive to make it against the law for beneficiaries to lie to MSD, to not tell MSD they're in a relationship. And also a little bit unreasonable to assume that when someone enters into a relationship, the amount of money they need should be reduced. I mean, when I entered into my relationship, my wages were in no way adjusted to my partner's earnings. So is a review around the rules of relationships something that you guys are looking at changing?
And we've said with the expert advisory group work that we had done in welfare that we know that we need to do work on the way that relationships are classified and dealt with within the benefit system. That is going to be a longer term piece of work for us. But the one thing though that MSC is really clear on, of course, it's really difficult to make those assessments. When is someone in a relationship? It's often hard for the person themselves to define that. What they use isn't arbitrary times. I know I've heard there's a bit of an urban myth that exists that there's some arbitrary time frame of a relationship that MSD uses. It doesn't. Their definition is around emotional and financial connection and interdependence. And so when you start to see the signs of someone's financial links kind of growing and things, then that's some of the things that MSD takes into account. And that's just the way our benefit system is built, in the same way that superannuation is. You get different payment levels based on some of those factors. So look, it is something that I agree, though. Work is needed, but it is going to take a little bit longer for us to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just let you go now soon. But before you go, I don't suppose you want to call the election for next year, do you?
I've been double dead a couple of times to do that. I will give plenty of notice, but not today, if that's okay.
That's fine with me. Thank you so much for your time.
Take care. Bye.
Kia ora. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.